Side 2. In the interval, Miss Honey left the classroom and headed straight for the headmistress's study. She felt wildly excited. She had just met a small girl who possessed also, it seemed to her, quite extraordinary qualities of brilliance. It would be ridiculous to leave a child like that stuck in the bottom form. Normally, Miss Honey was terrified of the headmistress and kept well away from her, but at this moment she felt ready to take on anybody. She knocked on the door of the dreaded private study.
"Enter!"
boomed the deep and dangerous voice of Miss Trunchbull. Miss Honey went in. Now, most headteachers are chosen because they possess a number of fine qualities. They understand children and they have the children's best interests at heart. They're sympathetic. They are fair. And they are deeply interested in education. Miss Trunchbull possessed none of these qualities, and how she ever got her present job was a mystery. She was, above all, a most formidable female. She had once been a famous athlete, and even now the muscles were still clearly in evidence. Her face, I'm afraid, was neither a thing of beauty nor a joy forever. She had an obstinate chin, a cruel mouth, and small, arrogant eyes. And as for her clothes, they were, to say the least, extremely odd. She always had on a brown cotton smock, which was pinched in around the waist with a wide leather belt. The belt was fastened in front with an enormous silver buckle. The massive thighs which emerged from out of the smock were encased in a pair of extraordinary breeches, bottle green in colour and made of coarse twill. These breeches reached to just below the knees, and from there on down she sported green stockings with turn-up tops, which displayed her calf muscles to perfection. On her feet she wore flat-heeled brown brogues with leather flaps. When Miss Honey entered the study, Miss Trunchbull was standing beside her huge desk with a look of scowling impatience on her face.
"Yes, Miss Honey, what is it you want? You're looking very flushed and flustered this morning. Have those little stinkers been flicking spitballs at you?"
"No, headmistress, nothing like that."
"Well, what is it, then? I'm a busy woman."
There's a little girl in my class called Matilda Wormwood," Miss Honey began.
"That's the daughter of the man who owns Wormwood Motors in the village. An excellent person, Wormwood. I was in there only yesterday. He sold me a car, almost new. Only done 10,000 miles. A terrific bargain. Yes, I liked Wormwood, a real pillar of our society. He told me the daughter was a bad lot, though. Her father says she's a real wart."
"Oh, no, headmistress, that can't be right."
"Oh, yes, Miss Honey, it darn well is right. In fact, now I come to think of it, I'll bet it was she who put that stink bomb under my desk here first thing this morning. I have discovered, Miss Honey, during my long career as a teacher, that a bad girl is a far more dangerous creature than a bad boy. Nasty, dirty things little girls are. Glad I never was one."
"She's completely off her rocker," Miss Honey told herself. "I must tell you, headmistress, that you are completely mistaken about Matilda putting a stink bomb under your desk."
"I am never mistaken, Miss Honey."
"But, headmistress, the child only arrived in school this morning and came straight to the classroom."
"Don't argue with me, for heaven's sake, woman! Now, what is it you want?"
"I came to talk to you about Matilda, headmistress. Matilda is a genius." At the mention of this word, Miss Trunchbull's face turned purple and her whole body seemed to swell up like a bullfrog's.
"A genius?"
she shouted.
"What piffle is this you are talking, madam? I have her father's word for it that the child is a gangster."
"Her father is wrong, headmistress."
"Don't be a twerp, Miss Honey. You've met the little beast for only half an hour and her father has known her all her life."
But Miss Honey was determined to have her say, and she now began to describe some of the amazing things Matilda had done with arithmetic.
"So she's learned a few tables by heart, has she?"
Miss Trunchbull barked.
"My dear woman, that doesn't make her a genius. It makes her a parrot."
"But, headmistress, she can read."
"So can I,"
Miss Trunchbull snapped. "It is my opinion that Matilda should be taken out of my form and placed immediately in the top form with the 11-year-olds.
Ha! Huh? So you can't handle her? And you want to unload her onto the wretched Miss Plimsoll in the top form, where she will cause even more chaos?
No, no, that is not my reason at all.
Oh, yes, it is. I can see right through your little plot, madam, and my answer is no.
But headmistress, please...
Not another word!
Shouted Miss Trunchbull.
And in any case, I have a rule in this school that all children remain in their own age groups regardless of ability.
Miss Honey stood there, helpless. Very well, then. It's up to you, headmistress.
You're darn right it's up to me,
Miss Trunchbull bellowed. Miss Honey turned and walked out of the study, feeling depressed, but by no means defeated. I am going to do something about this child, she told herself. When Miss Honey emerged from the headmistress's study, most of the children were outside in the playground. Her first move was to go round to the various teachers who taught the senior class and borrow from them a number of textbooks, books on algebra, geometry, French, English literature and the like. Then she sought out Matilda and called her into the classroom. There is no point, she said, in you sitting in class doing nothing while I'm teaching the rest of the form the two times table and how to spell cat and rat and mouse. So, during each lesson, I shall give you one of these textbooks to study. At the end of the lesson, you can come up to me with your questions, if you have any, and I shall try to help you. How does that sound?
Thank you, Miss Honey. That sounds fine.
I'm sure that we'll be able to get you moved into a much higher form later on, but for the moment, the headmistress wishes you to stay where you are.
Very well, Miss Honey. Thank you so much for getting those books for me.
What a nice child she is, Miss Honey thought.